Today's episode is brought to you by Lingoda's Back to School campaign. If you are anything like me, you have taken some time off over the past few months, and now it is time to start working hard, studying, and improving your English. Lingoda is the perfect place for you to do this. Lingoda is an incredible online language school with thousands of teachers and lessons available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I love the flexibility of Lingoda. You can choose how many classes you'd like a month, whether you want one-on-one private classes or group classes, and can take them any time of the day. You can get feedback from experienced teachers, practice speaking and communication, as well as learning grammar and vocabulary. And they offer business English lessons. After talking with Lingoda, I have agreed an incredible deal for Thinking in English listeners. A 7-day free trial, and then 25% off your first 2 months on Lingoda. This means you can save up to 200 euros or $245. Use my code THINKING25 for 25% off, or click the link in the description. Hello, I'm Tom Wilkinson, and welcome to the Thinking in English podcast, a podcast for intermediate to advanced level English learners. Which country has the highest level of English proficiency? Which country is the best at learning English? And what lessons can we learn from these high proficiency countries? Let's talk about this on today's episode of Thinking in English. You can find the full transcript linked in the description. Here is today's vocabulary list. Proficient. Proficient. Skilled and experienced. For example, which country is the most proficient in English? Rankings. Rankings. A list of items or individuals arranged in order of importance, achievement, or performance. As in, at the top of the rankings are the Netherlands, Singapore, and Scandinavian countries. Index. Index. A systematic arrangement or listing of information, often in sequential or alphabetical order. As in, the EF English Proficiency Index looks at the most proficient English-speaking countries. To dub. To dub. To replace the original audio in a film or television program with a different language. For example, some countries use subtitles rather than dubbing TV shows into their own language. To immerse. To immerse. To become deeply involved or engaged in a particular activity or environment. As in, using English every day is a great way to immerse yourself in the language. To be exposed. To be exposed. To be subjected to or have experience in a particular situation or environment. For example, if you are exposed to English regularly, it is much easier to learn. Multinational companies. Multinational companies. Corporations that operate in multiple countries and have business interests across national borders. For instance, multinational companies tend to use English for communication. Lingua franca. Lingua franca. A common language used for communication among speakers of different native languages. As in, Singapore uses English as a lingua franca between its different ethnic groups. I have listeners from all around the world. I think people from nearly 200 different countries and territories have listened to at least one Thinking in English episode. I'm sure many of you are curious about where my podcast is listened to the most. Well, the top 10 listening countries of Thinking in English are Poland, Italy, Turkey, Brazil, Spain, Mexico, Vietnam, Japan, Colombia, and Germany. Quite a diverse set of countries, right? There could be a few reasons why these countries are the ones who listen most to thinking in English. The most likely reason is luck. One of my episodes could have been popular in the country, made it on the Spotify rankings, and then all of you guys discovered me. At a more basic level, these countries, your countries, are likely full of people who want to improve and better their English skills. For many people, learning languages is a lifelong task. From school, to university, to adulthood, it can take decades to reach your desired level. But some places are better at learning languages than others. Or perhaps I should say, some countries are better at teaching languages, in this case, English, than other countries. And this is what I want to look at today. Which country has the best average English level? Of course, excluding native speaking countries. And what can we learn from places with high levels of English proficiency? So, before we talk about which country is the best at English, we need a way of measuring this. We need a way of comparing English levels across many different countries. This is not an easy thing to do. National exams, whether they be high school, university, or national proficiency tests, are not the easiest to compare. They ask different questions, test different skills, and are formatted differently. What we need is an internationally available test with takers from countries across the world. And this is where the EF English Proficiency Index can be useful. The EF English Proficiency Index, or EPI, is a report published annually by Education First, a global education company that offers language training and educational programs. Their index measures and ranks countries and regions based on their English language proficiency. It aims to provide insights into how English skills are developing worldwide and how they impact different parts of society. To create the ranking, they analyse data from their EF-SET English tests, or SET English tests, which are online, standardised tests used to assess English language proficiency. And I've linked them in the transcript of this episode. You can go and take a SET English test. I think there's a free version. These tests are taken by millions of adults worldwide, and the data from these tests is used to generate the rankings of which countries have the highest average English level. These reports can help policymakers, educators, businesses, and individuals understand the importance of English language proficiency, highlight areas where improvements are needed, and provides valuable information for designing language education programs. But for us today, it is going to help us understand which countries are the best at learning English and why. Of course, there are limitations to the EF-EPI. The English tests are voluntary and self-administered, meaning they cannot be representative of a whole country. They are limited in scope. It doesn't take into account larger economic factors and context, and the tests are mainly for adults. But despite these weaknesses, the EF-EPI is the most valuable tool for understanding English proficiency around the world. So, what are the results of the most recent EF proficiency rankings? Well, after analysing 2.1 million tests from the previous year, the 2022 results classified 13 countries as being very proficient in English. The most proficient country at speaking English in the world is the Netherlands. And we'll talk more about the Netherlands later. Following the Netherlands, in order, are Singapore, Austria, Norway, Denmark, Belgium, Sweden, Finland, Portugal, Germany, Croatia, South Africa, and Poland. With the exception of Singapore and South Africa, the top of the rankings is dominated by European countries. Out of the 31 countries ranked as very high or high proficiency, 24 are European. The highest ranked country in Asia is Singapore, followed by the Philippines at place 22 and Malaysia at 24. South Africa is the top performing African nation, with Kenya next at position 20, and Lebanon is the highest ranked Middle Eastern country at position 54. We can also look at cities in the EF index. Amsterdam is the highest English proficiency city, followed by Copenhagen, Stockholm, Zagreb, Helsinki, and Oslo. You may also be surprised by some countries at the lower end of the scale. Japan, where I currently live, is a low proficiency country, down at position 80. Mexico, one of the places where thinking in English is most popular, is very low proficiency, at position 88. And Saudi Arabia, one of the richest countries in the world, is ranked down at position 102 out of 111. So now we know the results of this index, what can we learn from this? Well, I want to look at a few of the best performing countries and discuss what makes them so successful at English teaching and learning. The Netherlands. The Netherlands is the number one ranked country in the EF English proficiency ranking. Amsterdam, a Dutch city, is the most proficient city in the world. And the Netherlands have been at the top of EF's index multiple times since the ranking started. By some estimates, up to 93% of Dutch people claim to be able to have a conversation in English, and over 50% use English as a second language. In fact, the level of English proficiency in the Netherlands is often regarded as better than that of the United States of America. While 90% of Dutch people can have a conversation in English, the same is definitely not true in the USA, where many people don't speak English. So why is the Netherlands so proficient? The first factor is a linguistic one. English and Dutch are closely related. In fact, Dutch is the closest major language to English, after minor languages like Scots and Frisian. Dutch and English are both Germanic languages with similarities in vocabulary and grammar. You may remember in the episode I recorded on how long does it take to learn English, that your native language definitely impacts your ability to learn and speak English. The fact that Dutch and English are so close is a big help. But this can't explain everything, especially with the large amount of Latin vocabulary in English, which doesn't always appear in Dutch. English is a key part of the Netherlands school system. It is taught from a young age, often the first years of elementary school, until the final years of high school. Moreover, Dutch higher education uses English extensively. Many major and top-rated universities, like the University of Amsterdam, teach their classes and courses in English, sometimes exclusively in English. If you want to study at these top-rated universities, a high level of English is almost always required in the Netherlands. Even if the university course is taught in Dutch, students in the Netherlands are often required or encouraged to use English language academic papers and media for their research, meaning that most university graduates in the Netherlands are quite proficient in English already. Unlike other countries, the Netherlands doesn't dub TV shows and movies into English. In countries like Spain, France, or Japan, where I'm currently living, many English shows are often shown on TV with the audio dubbed over, because these are massive languages. But TV in the Netherlands simply shows subtitles. This means that the Dutch people, from a very early age, are constantly exposed to and listening to English. English and American culture also tends to be popular in the Netherlands. Alongside education and media, business is a factor as well. As a small country, the Netherlands puts emphasis on English to access global markets. The Netherlands is a business-friendly country with many multinational companies headquartered there. There is also the fact that historic rivalries, for example, Germany in World War II, and cultural similarities, you know, a similar religion to England and our connected royal families, made English a much more attractive second language in the country compared to German or French. So, what can we learn from the Netherlands? Well, first, an education system that focuses on English is important. Using English at school consistently and being forced to use it at university are a strong, motivating factor to be good at English. Second, immersing yourself in English and exposing yourself to English all the time really helps. Put yourself in situations where you are surrounded by the language. And three, culture can make it easier to learn a language. If you enjoy American, British, Australian culture, and you are watching TV, listening to music, reading books, enjoying that culture, it's more motivating for you to start learning and improving your English so you can become more involved in that culture. Singapore. The next country we're going to talk about is Singapore. Last year, Singapore ranked as the second most proficient English-speaking country. It is by far the most proficient country in Asia and way ahead of Hong Kong, the place it is often compared to, China, South Korea, and Japan. Singapore has also continued to rise up the rankings. Just a few years ago, it was ranked 12th. Today, it is second. Singapore is a multicultural melting pot, with large communities of ethnically Chinese citizens, who are native speakers of Mandarin or other Chinese languages like Hokkien or Cantonese, Malay speakers, and citizens with origins in South India, most commonly native Tamil speakers. Despite this, English is used as the lingua franca in the small country. Most Singaporeans are bilingual, speaking English and one other language. And this means that English is the most spoken language in Singapore, despite it not being the native language of many of the country's citizens. So why is Singapore so proficient in English? Well, the last country we looked at, the Netherlands, had the benefit of cultural and linguistic similarity with English. But Singapore doesn't. And while it is true that Singapore was a British colony for a long time, this doesn't mean it is automatically going to be a great English-speaking country. Hong Kong, which is often compared with Singapore, was a British colony for much longer and ranks significantly lower. Singapore's English proficiency is due to politics. The country's founder, Lee Kuan Yew, made English a major part of Singaporean life. In the 1960s, Yew realised that English could be the key to his country's financial and economic success. Schools became bilingual in that decade, and by the 1970s, English replaced Chinese as the main language of instruction in Singapore. In 1987, for example, school subjects like math and science began to be taught in English. The country follows a communicative language teaching approach, which, in simple terms, means English is not just taught in Singapore. Instead, it is used authentically in real situations. This is one of the foundations of thinking in English too. I like to say, don't learn English, learn in English. Use English to learn something else. In the case of Singaporean schools, learn math, learn science, and learn other subjects in English. Teachers in the country are also very well paid, highly trained, and quite respected. Even today, Singapore still focuses on English. The English Language Institute of Singapore was established in 2011, and government campaigns like the Speak Good English movement focus on encouraging Singaporeans to use standard English rather than dialects like Singlish. When we compare Singapore to other Asian countries, the differences are large. Hong Kong has focused on Mandarin Chinese as its second language, instead of English. South Korea emphasizes test-taking rather than actually using the language. And Japan struggles with low-quality English teaching. So what can we learn from Singapore? Well, use English authentically. Use it to communicate, to learn, to conduct daily tasks. The members of my Patreon community have the opportunity to do this, or there are countless apps and services to get you using English every day. Second, learn something in English. Take a free course from edX or Coursera. Read a book in English on history. Just try learning something in English. And three, find a good teacher. Singapore's English teachers are well trained and paid. If you are trying to find the cheapest teacher possible, they're probably not the best teacher. I recommend trying a teacher from today's sponsor, Lingoda. I know from experience, Lingoda is much stricter with hiring teachers than most other online language platforms. Or you can take a class with Thinking in English. I recommend our tutor Nathan. He has a linguistics degree and is CELTA qualified. Scandinavia. And finally, I want to talk about Scandinavia. Now, Scandinavia is not a country, of course, but it is a region made up of countries including Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and Finland. The reason I want to take a look at this region is that all of these countries are consistently ranked at the top of the EF rankings. Sweden was the number one country back in 2018, and all of those Scandinavian countries I mentioned tend to be in the top 10 English-speaking nations. Is this because people in Scandinavia are naturally talented at learning English? No, probably not. So why are they so proficient? Well, like in the Netherlands, it's probably a mix of the education system, similarity of English and Scandinavian languages, and a cultural interest in learning English. The similarities between English and Scandinavian languages are less obvious than with Dutch. While they are Germanic, they are not in the same branch of Germanic languages. So English, along with Dutch, German, Yiddish, are West Germanic languages, while Danish, Swedish, Norwegian, Icelandic, and Faroese are North Germanic languages. There is one professor in Norway who has been arguing that English is actually more closely related to Norwegian, but regardless, they are closely related, just not as close as Dutch. For example, there are 1,558 shared words between English and Swedish. Sentence structure and ownership, or possessive grammar, are similar in English and Norwegian, and there are lots of phonetic sound similarities between English and Danish. Scandinavia is also known for its excellent school system. Schools are publicly funded and tend to consider English as a core subject. In Sweden, for example, English is considered alongside math and Swedish language as being something core. Other Scandinavian countries also start teaching early. Scandinavian countries also realize the importance and usefulness of English internationally. Some rankings I found place Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and other Scandinavian nations in the top five nations that love to travel the most. And English is, of course, the most important language when travelling. English is also viewed as an important business language. Norway is a major exporter of oil and fossil fuels, and the region is home to global brands like IKEA, H&M, Volvo, and Spotify. And like in the Netherlands, English is common in Scandinavian countries. English movies and TV shows tend to be subtitled, rather than dubbed. English music is popular, and English is found everywhere, from adverts to popular podcasts. So what can we learn from Scandinavia? Well, immerse yourself in English. And second, think about the motivation, reasons, and potential benefits for learning English. Scandinavia's love of travel, desire for internationalization, and economic hopes are key factors behind its success in learning English. So here is today's final thought. We can learn valuable lessons from the language proficiency of the Netherlands, Scandinavia, and Singapore. These countries have consistently ranked high in the EF English Proficiency Index, and there are several key factors contributing to their success. From the Netherlands, we can understand the importance of cultural exposure. The Netherlands emphasizes English in its education system from an early age, immerses students in English media without dubbing over the audio, and uses English extensively in higher education and business. Singapore's success in English learning highlights the power of a strong language policy and authentic language use. The country's founder recognized English as a key factor for economic success and made it a major part of Singaporean life. The country focuses on using English authentically in real situations, and its bilingual approach encourages using English alongside other languages. Scandinavia's excellent school systems prioritize English as a core subject from an early age. The region's strong motivation for internationalization, business, and travel also drives the desire to learn English. So overall, we can take away valuable lessons from these countries. Consistent exposure to English through education, media, and authentic language use, along with strong motivation and cultural interest, play vital roles in achieving high English proficiency. But what do you think? How does your country perform in the rankings of English proficiency? And what lessons could you learn from this episode? Let me know by leaving a comment on Spotify, a comment on the Thinking in English blog, on the transcript, it's linked in the description, or you can reach out to me on social media. I'm most active on Instagram. If you're interested, all of Thinking in English's bonus episodes are now available on Spotify. You'll have to be a Patreon subscriber to listen, but you can listen on Spotify to over 50 bonus episodes. And make sure to check out today's sponsor, Lingoda. Great service. Go and check them out and support Thinking in English by taking English classes and saving some money. But thank you all so much for listening today, and I'll see you all next time. Goodbye.